Turn to Revelation, if you will, please. If you'll turn to Revelation chapter 5, I'll eventually get to verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The year was 1936. August of 1936 was the Olympics. And the Olympics in August of 1936 began on August the 1st and were held in Berlin, Germany. August 1936. It was a crazy time for the world. It was a crazy time for our country. And there was chaos all over the world as Adolf Hitler had risen to power, and Hitler was hell-bent on proving his philosophy that the quote-unquote Aryan race was superior to every other race. And Hitler said that it'll be shown in the Olympics, we're going to win all the medals. And he said that there's no Jewish person, no black person, no minority who could outperform any Aryan person, so-called blonde-haired, blue-eyed person. And he was going to prove it to the world. At that time, 1936, man, the Hindenburg was making just amazing voyages. They could fly the Hindenburg, the German airship. They could fly it from Germany to New York, back to Germany. And it only took 5 days and 19 hours to fly. Of course, you know, the Hindenburg blew up in 37, but in 36, it was all the rage. The technology and all that was in the Hindenburg. And of course, in 1936, thinking back there historically, you know, it was just an interesting time for our country. Of course, there were no African Americans who were allowed to play football. That didn't come till 46, 10 years later, just to give you a little perspective. African Americans couldn't play baseball until 47. You know, you read of all the great things Jackie Robinson did. That 1947. And of course, baseball was integrated in 1950. But 1936, it was an interesting place in the world. And racism was on the rise. And as I say, Hitler had espoused his crazy philosophies. In 36, in June, Max Schmeling, the great German boxer, had just knocked out Joe Louis. Joe Louis fought him again, you know, in 38. Most people think of 1938 when Joe knocked him out in one round. But in 1936, Max Schmeling knocked out Joe Louis. And so many papers, over 200 newspapers, had boycotted the Olympics in 36. Several countries were boycotting the Olympics just because of Hitler's espoused philosophy. But Hitler said he would treat everybody fair, and the United States agreed to go. And so the games began. And here come this young black man out of Oakville, Alabama, by the name of Jesse Owens. And Jesse, his father was a sharecropper in Alabama. And Jesse, he went to Ohio State. You know, they called him the Buckeye Bullet coming out of Ohio State. That 165-pound just fasted. Like, Jesse was a smooth runner. I almost showed a video, but it time is limited, and I didn't want to take up the time with the video. You can Google that. But he was a smooth runner. They say his head hardly moved. You watch Jesse run, he's moving so quick, his head's hardly moving. But Jesse won 4 gold medals at the 1936 Olympics. And with Hitler watching and bragging about how he was in the stand, they quoted Hitler in the stand saying, "No nigger is going to beat the Germans, and you can't blame all the German people for Hitler's philosophy." As a matter of fact, the German people, they were chanting Jesse's name. Jesse was an African-American hero in Germany. They were chanting his name from the, it made Hitler mad, made him furious. He was asking, "Whose name are they calling?" And they were calling Jesse. So just because one person, espoused and influenced people to adopt that philosophy, you can't condemn a whole nation of people. But Jesse ran, and he tied or broke 9 world records. He set 3 more world records, and some of his records weren't broken for 20 years. Jesse Owens, he was a hero. You know, when you think about people like Jackie Robinson, Jesse was a hero. And to many, not just African Americans, but to Americans in general. Jesse has some famous quotes, Jesse Owens, and he said this: "We all have dreams. In order to make dreams come into reality, it takes an awful lot of determination, dedication, and self-discipline and effort." That sounds like that quote could have come from Pastor Hagin. He has that same determination, you know. Jesse said, "Find the good. It's all around you. Find it. Look for it. Showcase it. And start to believe it." He said, when someone asked him about winning 4 gold medals, you know, that's now it's almost common. People who do that are considered great athletes. But in 1936, it was unheard of to win 4 gold medals. And Jesse said that all of that, those gold medals, his thought about them all was that it took a lifetime of training for 10 seconds. What's God training you for today? What's God putting in you today? He's got plans to use you. And Jesse said this, I'll say one more of his great quotes. He said, "It all goes fast." Talking about in the race, in the middle of a race. He said, "It all goes fast. And character makes the difference when it's close." Yeah. I told you to go to Revelation chapter 5. And Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says this about heaven, those who are in heaven. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood. With your blood, men," listen now, "with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." I like that. I'm going to read that again. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God. With your blood, men from every tribe, tongue and people and nation.'" Over in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Aren't you glad that God, He's our Father, and aren't you glad the gospel is for everybody? Praise God. The Bible says right there in heaven, men from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, right there in heaven, praise God. Bought by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, 9. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. From every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Again, that scene around the throne of God of men and women, obviously, from every tribe, nation, tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, giving Him glory. My friend, that's what it's going to look like when this thing is all wrapped up. It's going to look like all of us together in the body of Christ, praising the Lamb of God for buying and purchasing us with His precious blood. Amen. I said in heaven, it's not going to matter what color you are. It's not going to matter what tongue you came, what tongue you spoke when you were in the earth realm. It's not going to matter what your kindred or ethnicity was. The only thing that's going to matter is that you had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Tonight, my topic tonight, love triumphs over racism. Love. God's love will triumph over racism every single time. It happened in 1936. It happened before 1936. It's happened ever since 1936. And it's going to happen until you and I are sitting around the throne of God, giving Him glory and giving Him praise. And if we ain't going to care about the color of our skin up there, we might as well not care about the color of our skin down here. I said, amen. We've got to be smarter than that in the body of Christ. We can't let the devil put the okey-doke on us. You understand what I mean by that? In New Jersey, we have a term called the okey-doke. When somebody put the okey-doke on you, you know, it's just like sleight of hand. You know, they show you this and they slap you with this hand. They put the okey-doke on them, you know. We, in the body of Christ, we can't afford to let Satan put the okey-doke on us. trying to get us divided, trying to get us schism, trying to get us broken up. We are one body covered by the blood of the Lamb up under heaven with our great big God. And we can't afford to be schismed and divided and sectioned off. We are the body of Christ. What is racism? It means discrimination, prejudice, bias, antagonism directed against a person or a group of people based on their ethnic identity, which oftentimes happens to be a minority. But to be clear, racism can come from any group, can come from any race, can come from any person, can come from any tongue. And wherever it raises its ugly head, and whomever it raises its head from, whatever color they are, it's all wrong. Christ never separated people based upon their race. In fact, he unified people always. Over in Galatians chapter 3, go there with me, Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28 and 29. Galatians chapter 3, 28 and 29. You said, what's the title of this message? Love triumphs over racism. It always has and it always will. There's nothing more powerful than the mighty agape love of God moving, operating through the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, amen. Amen. And I said, if we'll stay focused on our mission, praise God, if we'll stay focused on our mission and on our mandate, everything's going to be all right. Galatians 3, 28 and 29, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I love that. I'm going to say it again. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That dispels ethnicity. And let me just say this, ethnicity is important. There's nothing wrong with ethnicity. There's nothing wrong with loving your ethnicity, embracing your ethnicity. That shouldn't be a threat to anybody. When someone who has a beautiful Latina heritage embraces their ethnicity, that's not a threat to anybody. That's a beautiful thing. When I meet somebody who's Irish and they embrace the Emerald Isle and they embrace their ethnicity, that's no threat. I encourage that. When you see someone who's Italian and they embrace who they are and their Italian heritage, that's a beautiful thing. When someone who's of African American descent embraces who they are and embraces their heritage, that's a beautiful thing. When our brothers and sisters from Africa who African Americans are from Africa too, but our brothers and sisters who are more recently from Africa, listen, when they embrace their heritage, that's no threat to anybody. That's a beautiful thing. And so ethnicity is not a bad thing, but let me tell you what triumphs ethnicity. The fact of who we are in Christ triumphs whoever we are in our ethnicity. It's all right for ethnicity. There's nothing wrong with ethnicity. I love ethnicity. I'm proud of my own African-American heritage and ethnicity. But I'll tell you what I'm more proud of than my African-American heritage ethnicity. Let me tell you that. I'm more proud of who I am in Christ. Because I'm going to tell you what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus has done for me has eternal implications. And so it's okay. But here, the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, meaning that's all right. That's an important, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb? Have you been free from sin? Have you been rescued from a devil's hell? I said, that can only happen when the blood of Jesus, when we allow the blood of Jesus to set this, neither Jew nor free nor Greek, that eliminates the priority or the supreme priority of ethnicity. It is important. It's just not the number one thing. So there's neither Jew nor Greek. Look back at that verse 28 of Galatians 3. There's neither slave nor free man. And so based on someone's socioeconomic status or their status as a slave or their status as a free man, as important as it was, and the Bible wrote to people who had slaves, if you can get free, get yourself free. But what was more important than even freedom was salvation in Jesus. Amen. Slavery wrong? Of course it was wrong. But salvation through Christ, salvation through the precious blood of Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. The importance is not what gender we are. For you are all one in Christ. Now look at verse 29. Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. The most important thing about you is are you a Christian tonight? Are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? And are you a descendant of Abraham? Oh, because if you're a descendant of Abraham, and if you've come to Christ, if you are in Christ, and the Bible says you are, if you belong to Christ, that's what it says. If you belong to Christ, if you belong to Christ, oh, then are you Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. I said, that's shouting words. The fact that we are Abraham's descendants. I'm proud of my African-American heritage, but my African-American heritage couldn't get me to heaven. I said, I could be a proud African-American and still go to hell. Oh, but when I came into Christ Jesus, all of a sudden I was liberated by the precious blood of the Lamb. Glory be to God. Jesus wasn't asking if I was black or white or blue. He was asking if I was ready to be free from sin. And only Jesus, he's the only one who could set a man free. He's the only one who could set a woman free. From the chain, from the slavery, from the bondage, from the eternal ramifications of sin. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And there is none other. And so the Bible says, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's descendants. I like that. I said, did you put your shouting clothes on? Because if you're a descendant of Abraham, tonight you have reason to shout. If you're a descendant of Abraham, tonight you have reason to shout the victory. Because being a descendant of Abraham, we know from the word that this means we've been redeemed from poverty. We've been redeemed from sickness. We've been redeemed from spiritual death. And so tonight, I don't have to be unsaved no more. Can I say it like that? Why? Because Jesus redeemed me, and that's a shouting, that's shouting ground. I don't have to be separated from God no more because Jesus set me free, and that's shouting ground to me. I don't have to be sick no more because Jesus redeemed me from that. If you are in Christ tonight, he redeemed you from that. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, we don't have to be poor no more because Jesus redeemed us from all of that. I said, if you are Abraham's descendant, then you have a reason to shout tonight because Jesus has set us all free. Glory be to God. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. Racism is not new, and racism has never worked, and nor will it ever work. Tonight, I want to say three quick things to you in our short time. Listen, number one, love is the evidence. Love is the evidence. Love is the evidence. Go with me to John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. What's your first point, preacher? Love is the evidence. Human love? No, I'm not talking about any human love. I'm talking about God's agape love. I'm talking about the unconditional, unmerited agape love of God that was demonstrated through Christ and has now been shed abroad in the hearts of every believer. Glory be to God. I said love is the evidence. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you. This is Jesus talking. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. In other words, he's saying that you agape one another. That you also love one another. Verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, sometimes you would think, just, you know, looking at the body of Christ, sometimes we get schismed and divided off. And so sometimes you think maybe that verse said, by this, by your speaking in tongues, people will know that you're my disciples. It doesn't say by your speaking in tongues. If people can see that I've blessed you materially, then that'll show that you're my disciples. No, it doesn't say that. It says by your love, by your demonstration of that agape love, will the whole world know that you're my disciples. And when people espouse racism, let me tell you what they are in need of. They are in need of a big old dose of the love of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Run with me. We're running through scripture. 1 John 3, 10. When we leave there, we're headed to 1 John 4, 7. 1 John 3, 10. 1 John 3, 10. What's the title of this message? Preacher, love triumphs over racism. 1 John 3, 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. There are two types of people really in this world. Those who have God as their father and those who have the devil as their father. And those who have the devil as their father, those of us who have God as our father, it is our responsibility to reach to them and to reach out to them and to bring them into this new life in Jesus. Before this whole thing winds up, what is the father waiting for? James said, the husbandman waiteth for what? The precious fruit of the earth. God's not being slack concerning his promise for Christ to return. He's being patient because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And people will go to that horrible place. And it ain't going to matter. People from every tribe and kindred and color and tongue are going to be in that horrible place. But they'll be there only because they rejected God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But I pray that not one person listening to the sound of my voice will reject God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But that everybody will turn, if they haven't already, give their life to Jesus. Be free from Satan's tyranny and domination. God said here, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. 1 John 4:7-8. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. What's the principal thing? It is being the recipient of that love, allowing that love to transform our own lives, and then turning to demonstrate that love to a lost, dying, hurting world. 1 John 4:11. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. You say, you called, no, I didn't call, the Bible called that person a liar. If that person can't love their brother who they can see and then say, I love God, but I hate this person. I hate that person. I said, the Bible said that person's a liar. That person said, oh, but I love God. I hate that person. I hate that. I hate those people. But I love God. No, you don't. You're a liar. The Bible said right there. 1 John 4:21. 1 John 4:21. And this is the commandment we have for him, from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. So the one who espouses racism is who? Satan. It's Satan himself. Satan is the one who created it. It came from Satan, that hatred pitting one person against another, one group against another, one ethnicity against another, all came from Satan from the get-go. And he stands behind in the shadows laughing. But in the light, but here in the light where we've been redeemed, we can't afford to pay attention to negative voices. That would pull us away from love. That would pull us away from loving each other and loving this world and bringing people to Christ so that they don't have to experience that horrible place called hell. John 8:43. The Gospel of John chapter 8:43. We have to run a little faster. John 8:43. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, is because you cannot hear my word. You are not. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. And does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. And he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and he's the father of lies. And racism is a lie. And those who espouse it are espousing a lie. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. You say, what was this point, preacher? Love is the evidence. Love is the evidence. Everybody says they know God today. Hey, everybody knows God. Demons walking around talking about they know God. Everybody knows God. It's popular today. Everybody knows God. But the word says that those who really know him will not only be affected by his love, they'll demonstrate it. That love is the evidence. Love is the evidence. Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall. It had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. Secondly, my second point. I said I had three real quick. The second one, love is the decision. Love is the decision. What was that first point, preacher? Love is the evidence. You say you're a Christian. Hey, love. Jesus said, they'll know you by my love. They'll know you're my disciples by my love. Love is the evidence. Secondly, love is the decision. It's not based on a feeling. God's love isn't based on a feeling. That's not how it works. And so many people have been touched and affected by racism. So many people have experienced racism from so many races. There are people in every race who have suffered and experienced racism at one hand or another through one group of people or one person or individual. And if you're not careful, you can let racism make you bitter. But as a Christian, don't drink the poison. Pastor gave that powerful, powerful analogy this morning. If you didn't hear his message this morning, you need to get that when he was holding that pitcher of water and saying, it's not the weight of the pitcher, it's how long you're holding it. Okay, somebody hurt you. Somebody called you a bad name. Somebody called you a racial name. You're white, somebody called you a racial name. You're black, somebody called you blue, somebody called you a racial name. Let me tell you, you need to let the love of God heal your heart. Sometimes people are carrying around bitterness year after year, decade after decade, decade after decade. You need to let the transforming power of the love of Jesus heal your heart and let that go. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And I said, well, I don't trust nobody from that race. I don't trust nobody from that race. And you're not reading your Bible. Because the love of Jesus will transform you. The love of Jesus will heal you. The love of Jesus will set you free. You said, somebody called me a name. Jesus called you redeemed. Jesus called you saved. Jesus called you his child. Jesus called you triumphant. Jesus called you more than a conqueror. You worried about somebody called you. And God's love and God's power and God's favor will catapult you above people trying to hold you down. I said, I wish I had more time and a bigger amen. Giving into racism, hating somebody because they hated you first, and treating somebody badly because they treated you badly is just like drinking poison and you expect the other person to die. But the Bible said in Romans 13:8, owe nothing to anyone except to love them. In Ephesians 4 at verse 2, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, show tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let me tell you this, my brother and sister. There's a great revival that's already begun that's going to mushroom into the likes. It is going to morph into the likes of which this world has never seen. It has been prophesied that this last revival will encompass all of the other great revivals. And if you've ever heard our pastor preach on this, to run down the history of the revivals throughout history and then bring it current time. If you've never heard, you should get some of pastor's messages on that, where he's preaching about the history of revival. But all of the revivals that have ever been are going to morph in comparison to what God is doing in this time, in our time. And let me tell you, the only thing that will slow that revival, the only thing that will quell that revival, the only thing that will delay that revival is if we who are the ecclesia, if we who are the called out ones, if we who are the body of Christ give way to hatred and bitterness and racism and start getting off into schisms and divisions, if we give way to that foolishness, the revival will not operate with the power that God has intended. So how you know that, preacher? Because the Bible said right there in Galatians 5:6 that faith worketh by love. Faith can't work without love. That's why I said it's the okey-doke. Satan tried to get us off on the okey-doke. All he's trying to do is get you and I out of love. And when we see evidence of racism, we should call it out. And let me just say this. When there's not evidence of racism, then we should be careful what we're doing. I can't get an amen there. Everything we see is not racism. So I wish I had a bigger amen there. I don't have time, and y'all are amen me too slow right there. Everything we see is not racism. When there is racism, we should authentically call it out. We should call it out, and as one group, as one body, we should stand against it and resist it with the love of Jesus Christ. I said amen. But everything we see is not racist. I come from the ballpark the other day. I was watching my grandson play a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I got my car. My son, he's next to me, and we're exiting the ballpark. And, you know, we're driving slow just through the parking lot area. And, man, there's a white guy. He's just standing right there. And my car is going really slow. And he's just looking, and he's looking at us. And I'm about to say hi, you know. And he's just looking at the car. And just then, the automatic lock on my door engaged, you know, where you can hear it go. Dun-dun. And I didn't set the lock. The car is a safety mechanism. And when you drive for a certain number of minutes, if you haven't locked the car, it locks itself. You understand what I'm saying? So the car just happened. He's happened to look in the car, and I'm getting ready to say hi. It looks like he's getting ready to say hi. And the thing went, kunk, kunk. Now don't see what back. It looked like I had locked the door thinking he was going to do something. You understand what I'm saying? I called my son's attention to that. I said, you know, JP, I said, listen, let's reverse that. Let's say you and I were standing there outside that car, and his car rolled up alongside of us. And we were looking, get ready to say hi. And then I heard that automatic lock kick in. I said, I would have been tempted to say, oh, he did that because we were black. I said, but we would have been wrong. I said, everything you see is not racism. Sometimes it's just an automatic door lock clicking off at the wrong time. When it's real, we should call it out. When it's not real, we do more damage. When we say there's something and there's really not. Some things are motivated. Some people are motivated by something different. Sometimes, when it is, we should call it out. But when it's not, we should not. If you just think everything's race, everything is race. That's all you'll ever find. I better move on to my third point. Let me skip all these scriptures I got for you. And I had tons of scripture for you. Number three, love is the answer. Love is the answer. I told you love is the evidence. Secondly, I told you love is the decision. And number three, love is the answer. Love is the answer. Why? Because love never fails. The Bible says the love of God never fails. You say, but yeah, somebody called me a racial epithet. Love never fails. You say, yeah, but you don't know what they did. I said, love never fails. You say, yeah, but you don't know how, but love never fails. It don't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what color you are. And any of us can experience wrong from any other of us from a different race or a different ethnicity. And let me tell you, it hurts just as bad no matter what race you are. If you experience injustice because of your ethnicity, it hurts. But there's something that there is a healing balm in Gilead called the blood of Jesus. And if you'll apply the healing balm, that pain and hurt will go away. Love is the answer. Where there is unity, there is power. And my friends in the body of Christ, let us not let the enemy divide us. Because the enemy's trick, his okey-doke, is divide and conquer, divide and conquer. Jesus said, if you divide the house, then you'll divide and conquer. That's how the enemy works. But if we'll stay unified, if we'll stay together, if we'll band together, arm around arm, hand around hand, listen, if we'll just stand by one another, don't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're blue, whatever your ethnicity is. You embrace your ethnicity, we embrace it too. Our ethnicity is our flavor. Our diversity is our strength. You can't say you like food. You like Mexican food. You like wonderful Filipino food. You like all this kind of food, but then you don't like them people. That don't make no sense. Just as easy it is to embrace food from other cultures, it's easier to embrace the wonderful people from other cultures. Love is the answer. And the enemy tries to divide and conquer. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says we know his devices. But I want to end with a story I told before. And it is simply this, that it bears repeating. And I'll close with this story of an older man I met when I was in my early 20s. I'd just become a Christian. I don't think I'd been a Christian a year. I'm working at the King's Dominion Amusement Park. I'm on a Christian summer project. I'm with 59 other students, 30 guys, 30 girls from all over the country. We're there in Ashland, Virginia. We're staying at Randolph-Macon College. We're staying there for 3 months of the summer. We're doing Bible studies, learning how to witness and share our faith. We're going into communities and doing community projects and services, and we're all working at King's Dominion during the week. And coming out of King's Dominion, there was a security guard, and he operated one of the employee little security shacks, and maybe there were 10 of them or more. But as we exited the park going home, then they wanted to make sure you weren't taking anything, and you always had to go through the security checkpoints. And I went through a security checkpoint one time, and there was an older gentleman there. I'm guessing he must have been 65 or 70, which is not that old now that I'm 60. Seemed old at the time. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, so I go through the checkpoint. I go through that checkpoint, and I started talking to him about the love of Jesus. He was asking what we were there for. He noticed, you know, we were all. And I start talking. Anyway, he listened to the gospel message and got born again right there at his guard booth. Got sure enough just born again by the blood of Jesus. Yeah. And so he told me, he said, I got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, I hate Asian people. And I said, well, you just got born again, didn't you? He said, yeah. I said, well, the love of Jesus was just shed abroad in your heart, and that love won't let you hate Asian people. And you know what he told me? He said, you don't understand. He said, I hate Asian people. He said, I had to fight in one of the wars. And he said, I was taught that Asian people were my enemy. And I never disassociated that after the war. And I've always felt, even during the war, after the war, they're my enemy. And he said, to this day, I hate them. I said, well, you must not have got born again. You must not have prayed with me. He said, I did pray. I did pray. I said, well, if you prayed, and I know you did, then the love of Jesus came into your heart. And that love won't let you hate another man. You know what he told me? He said, you don't understand. He said, I hate Asian people. I said, you don't understand. The love of Jesus is greater than that hate that you had, and that love will drive out that hate. And as I handed him my little pocket Bible, I turned to 1 Corinthians 13, circled verses 4 through 8, and I said, I want you to read this every single day. You know, it starts off, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't... And I said, I want you to read this. I'm not talking about occasion. I want you to read this every day. And he said, okay. I said, listen to me. I want you to read it every day. And he said, okay, I got it. And he said, I'm still telling you I hate him. I said, I'm still telling you the love of God in you won't let you hate him. Read it every day. And he said, okay. And so I disappeared, and we went on some mission or whatever, you know, around the, not mission, but, you know, we went on some outreach around Virginia, and I didn't see him for a couple of weeks. When I was coming back a couple of weeks later, coming through the park, he was yelling for me, Bill, come this way, come through my gate. And when I got up there to him, he had the biggest, broadest grin on his face. And before I could even get to him, he said, I love him. I love him. And I said, the Asian people? He said, yeah, the Asian people. I love them. I love them. He said, you were right. You were right. He said, I read those scriptures every day, and God has moved out the hate, and now I love them. I love them. And he told me, I'm getting in trouble. I'm getting in trouble on my job. I said, how? He said, because I hug every Asian person I see. I just hug every one of them. I just hug every one of them. And he said, they tell me, get off of me. Get away from me. He said, but God replaced that hate with love. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored in this short amount of time to show and to prove to people that your love, oh, your transforming love, oh, your unconditional love, oh, your chain-breaking love frees us from hatred, frees us from strife, frees us from division. And so, Father, heal hearts that have been broken, that have been torn, that have been injured. We continue to pray for our country. We know that so many have been hurt. And Father, we know that racism is never right. And that's why you gave us the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is the kryptonite to racism. And so we thank you for healing hearts, for healing our country, for bringing your people through again. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you need Jesus tonight, I want you to pray this prayer. Bow your head and say, Father, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I need Jesus. I admit that he's your son, that he died on the cross for my sins, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And I ask him to come into my heart right now. I'll live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that simple prayer, we want you to write to the ministry and let us know. You can email us at partnerservice@rhema.org. Let us know you prayed that prayer. Let the love of Jesus continue to transform your heart. And where you find hate or hatred, overshadow it with the power of God's love. Let's allow Jesus to do what he's planning in this end time. God bless you, one and all. You all stay right back here till I'm preaching about a month from now. I'll see you in about a month. No. Okay. No. Listen, stand up on your feet. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thanks for being here this morning. If you didn't get Pastor Hagin's message this morning, then make sure you get that. And one last thing before we go, let me say, and I have said this when they're not here, so I have no problem saying this in front of Pastor and Mrs. Hagin. I am so honored, so proud to have worked for them for 18 years. And they have exemplified the love of God for people and every ethnicity and every group of people. And I'm so proud to work for them. When I see the love that's in their heart for people and how they direct this ministry around the four corners of the world to reach out, to bring in a harvest of souls, just like it says in heaven. From every nation, from every tribe, whether we're in Haiti or whether we're over in Africa or whether we're wherever, all over the world, the Hagins direct the gospel message to bring in, to let down the nets and bring in the harvest. And I am so proud to work for them and to see their hearts to exemplify love in action. For 18 years I've watched them, and I'll stand for them any day. And they don't need any defending. They don't need any defending, but I would defend them any place, anytime, anywhere. I love them. They're my pastors, and I love them. All right, you didn't ask for all that, but you didn't run out. As soon as I had you stand up, you should have run out. You wouldn't have had to hear that. No. I wanted to say that all along. Amen. Praise God. So we love you. We're glad that you came tonight. Make sure you get Pastor's message if you didn't earlier today. And we will see you right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power, 7 p.m. And then back here at the School of the Bible Hour, 9 a.m. next Sunday. And then a powerful message with Pastor at 10 a.m. next Sunday morning. God bless you, one and all. You are dismissed. If you're a first-time guest, thank you for being here. Go out to the halls and get one of our welcome home packets. We love you all. God bless you.